and welcome to the Spread in Essence Football Picks Podcast on Essence.com. It's Mike Cole, joined, as always, by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how you doing?
Doing well. Firing off an email right now as we start.
Very nice.
Just multitasking like crazy.
So you are locked in and ready to go.
Yeah. Let's
we are here to make our NFL against the spread picks for the three best games of the week. We'll also do locks, upsets. We might get into some chicanery. And then we will get on our ways. We have a lot of stuff to do that is not related to this. As you and I were just discussing, and as you are currently in the midst of.
But I'm all here.
Which may or may not be affecting our ability to pick football games.
We've got to build in some excuses somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we're going to do the three best games of the week. We'll do our locks and upsets. But as you are always quick to mention, we pick every game of the week on Nesson.com/odds. And we did that last week, as we do every week. And it was a dumpster fire of episodes.
I was going to say, if ever there was a week not to mention that, this was probably the one.
We went a combined 7-21. You were 3-11. I was 4-10. So I sneak out a little weekly win there. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything you want to get in from last week. It's just, we're in a spot right now where things are wild. I think underdogs cleaned up, and we talked about this yesterday. Maybe it's time to start riding underdogs, but that's going to flip at some point too, you would think. I don't know. I feel like I was heavy on dogs earlier this year, and then maybe with like the more data, I've tricked myself into taking more favorites. I don't know. I didn't think I had that many favorites lined up this week, but apparently I did.
I knew last week was going to be a bloodbath for both of us because we were in lockstep in a lot of games, I felt like. Just looking over, like, before we went live with all the picks.
It's true. It's rarely we, like, both go 10-5 or something.
And, I mean, there's a lot of weeks where we'll differ on a lot of games, and then ultimately we'll look up and we'll both
level,
be,
yeah.
You know, both be 500. So the fact that we were on the same side of a lot of the games, knew that was a recipe for disaster. Also, just didn't feel great about many of the games. And even that, like, there was some weird stuff going on. I mean, obviously the Aaron Rodgers news. That was one pick we actually both were on, though. I think we liked the Packers ahead of time and liked them even more when we were
so
when that spread jumped.
We picked that game. So that news came out Wednesday, right?
So we picked that game. We picked the game on the spread with
Rodgers playing.
With Rodgers playing, whatever that line was. And by the time we did the picks column, the spread jumped up. Actually liked it even more
probably
at that point.
It didn't play out the way I thought it would, but
like the Cardinals Niners game, that was all over the place. With the
I felt good about
stuff.
That one, and Sam Panayotovich, our Nesson betting expert, and I had that in the Super Contest. We felt really good about it because we had some pretty good indication that Kyler Murray wasn't going to play. And that's the thing too, is it felt like we were on the right side of lines all week. That's a perfect example of it. I'm trying to think of other games that was just kind of ugly. There was some shorter spreads too, but there's also like that Rams likes to call it kind of like the 4.5 to 5.5. It's just icky right now.
It was just like, yeah, I just didn't have a good feeling about last week for whatever reason.
Do you feel better about this week?
Not exactly.
Me neither. it starts with this
maybe
one.
Just like the point in the season too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like you get to that,
well, like there's probably
the midway point.
There's probably like more free spaces later in the season that we like to admit, because you'll get like Team Y playing for the playoffs against Team X that just fired its coach or is going to fire its coach. And you're like, well, I'll lay the points because I think they'll win by 30.
Not to mention, is anybody actually good? Like,
this is going to be a recurring
week-to-week volatility of everything.
I actually saw somebody else talking about this somewhere when I was doing my research. So I think that's starting to really be like a big focal point and a takeaway, not just for week 9, but like the NFL in 2021. There's nobody's good. There is nobody who's very good except for maybe Tampa Bay.
And that's going to lend itself to varying results from week to week,
right?
Which is making, of all the years we've been doing this, is probably, if not the hardest season, one of the hardest.
The perfect example of that was Sunday Night Football last week with Rams Titans, where I still feel good about how I handicapped that game, where it's like, or at least not handicapped, but broke down the actual football of it, where it's like, I think they're going to get it together, but there's going to be one game that they don't look very good, and the Titans just came out and blew doors. So
yeah, and to your point about the like that in between weird sort of like 4.5 to 5 point range, like I think Monday night was a pretty good indication of that. Steelers Bears, and it's like I look at the Bears as a team that like maybe they can hang at home against a crappy team, but like we're still in the midst of like trying to figure out what the Steelers
like
are.
Like, how good are the Steelers?
Yeah, but I think we were both on them because of what we've seen from Chicago.
To your point about is anybody good and not having having this year be very difficult compared to other years, I have no read on at least half the league. We kind of talked about this last week, or maybe you and I talked about it off air, where it's like, I can't get a good read on this team. I can't get a good read on that team. And that list has like been quietly growing in the back of my mind all year.
We're going to get into it, Aaron, one of these games. The AFC West is throwing me for a real loop. We talked about that the other day. It's tough. It's tricky.
All right. So instead of talking about it all in other places, let's talk about it here. We'll start with a Sunday afternoon game, a huge game, huge, huge, huge game for playoff
implications. Going back to the COVID stuff, we're getting right back into it immediately here.
So we've got the Cleveland Browns coming off of their resounding win at Cincinnati, a huge win for them. They go on the road, take on the Patriots. Patriots team that is coming off another win. I think they've won three in a row, two games on the road. They just took it to Carolina last week. That's another one I just didn't see coming. I still don't think the Patriots are very good. Can't figure them out. But they opened as 2.5-point favorites, got bet down to 1.5 or 1. It was 1 this morning. And then Adam Schefter reports mid-morning that Nick Chubb has tested positive for COVID, along with Demetric Felton. And they had another – their running back room is decimated right now. Chubb is vaccinated, so it makes it easier to see him returning for Sunday. But not so sure if that's going to be the case. The spread moved a 0.5 on that news. So like I said, the Patriots are laying 1.5 here at home against Cleveland. The total is at 45.5. Why don't you try digging in this one for first?
Well, and not to continue piling on our excuse making at the top, but like the injuries in general this year, I think that's another thing too, is figuring out the impact of injuries because there's been so many high profile injuries.
Sure. And then you're mixing COVID too.
We've had some trades, we've had some departures,
yep,
all types of weird stuff. But I'm kind of with you on the jury still being out on the Patriots a little bit. So I've kind of settled on them as being like, they're a team they're going to be competitive, I think, every week for the most part, regardless of the competition. I think a lot of it stems from just their ability to sort of control the line of scrimmage. They've made a lot of improvements both along the offensive line and the defensive line. So there's going to be plenty of weeks. If I'm catching points with the Patriots, I'm going to love them in some weeks. This week, though, I see the problem is I think the Browns are sort of they're sort of mirror images of each other. Like they feel very similar to each other. What are you showing me here? Oh, see, you're right. That's a good way to put it. So Mike has in his notes Cleveland's slightly better version of New England.
Yeah.
And that's where we're in lockstep again. So maybe I should change my pick. But I like the Browns because I do. I think, you know, you look at them, their strength is along the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively. And it's just better. It's just straight up better than the Patriots. The Nick Chubb COVID situation obviously adds in a little element of unpredictability. But they've survived in the past with a depleted running back room. So I think really it stems from that offensive line being to generate the push up front. Like you said, Browns are just kind of a better version than the Patriots right now. I'm going to, and if I'm getting points, sure.
Yeah. I took them too. I took the Browns. I liked it a lot more before Nick Chubb was hurt or COVID, obviously, just because I don't know who plays running back for them now.
Johnson.
Yeah, it feels like an issue. I think obviously the game plan for New England here is try to take away that running attack and make Baker Mayfield beat you. That's been an issue for Baker this year. He has not looked overly impressive, but I just think that they've got enough around him to kind of make it relatively idiot-proof, even for somebody like Baker. But to your point, like it's all about the trenches for me, which is such an old school lame thing to say, but like Cleveland, best in the league in pass protection win rate. From a run block perspective, only Dallas and Kansas City have higher Pro Football Focus grades. Their pass rush, best win rate, top 5 Pro Football Focus, and their run defense is top 10 in both win rate and Pro Football Focus's metrics. So I you know, as long as they can kind of slow down the Patriots running attack, I like them a lot here. It feels like this could end up being something similar to what we saw, what was that, like 3 or 4 weeks ago when they went into Cleveland and beat them 14-7. Like, I think I'd be back on the under here for the Patriots, which is kind of they're starting to hit on some more overs recently. But I just think that this is going to be kind of a grind them down. I think if Cleveland takes away that Patriots running attack, which has looked really good in recent weeks, Mac Jones has kind of sneaky been average at best. I know like Pro Football Focus loves him and he gets good high grades and stuff like that, but the production isn't necessarily there. Cleveland's second in pressure rate, fifth in knockdown rate, second in sacks. They don't blitz much. You know, Mac Jones against under pressure, completing less than 60% of his passes. The six turnover worthy plays, 73 passer rating. No secret, rookie quarterback's not as good under pressure, but I think, like I said, if they can take away that one element, kind of pin their ears back, they're in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, and look, for the strides that the Patriots have made up front on both sides of the ball, you got to factor in the level of competition, too. I mean, they beat up on some bad teams to this point, where I feel like Cleveland, they're a little more, I don't want to say battle-tested.
It's closer than you would think, though, because I actually looked that up. So by DVOA, the Patriots' wins have come against the Jets twice. They're 29th. Houston, 30th. Carolina last week, 26th. And even the Chargers, 16th, like middle of the pack. And you look at, like, Cleveland lost to the Chargers, but they also lost to the Chiefs, Arizona, and Pittsburgh. They beat Houston, Chicago, Minnesota. That's a nice win. Denver, it's an okay win. Cincinnati, an okay win. So, again, to our earlier point, though, not slightly battle-tested, but still the jury's out on both.
Yeah. And one thing I think Cleveland might be able to do in this game is they like to use their three tight ends. I mean, they kind of have to by virtue of what they're working with from a wide receiver standpoint. But I think that could be an issue that for New England. I look at New England against 13 personnel this year. Very small sample size, obviously, but 4 for 4 on completions. 2 touchdowns, 8.3 yards per attempt.
Jeez.
So if you get in tight, I think this is, I think Cleveland's going to be able to finish drives. And on the other side, we've seen in the past New England struggle to do that. So maybe that ultimately, this game is won in the red zone.
Also, Cleveland, pretty good special teams too, which feels like a good way for the Patriots to kind of make up some points on a point spread. And if they don't have that advantage like they usually do, maybe that's
That's the thing. I like the Patriots against a team that's more of a high flying offense with some that's prone to make a mistake.
It's possible
teams.
That they win this game going away because they turn the Browns into that and make Baker.
Well, that's the thing.
It's
two quarterbacks who I guess they're kind of on par with each other to an extent. It's
game manager.
So it's kind of a weird matchup in that regard. But and if that's the case, and you're catching. What is it, a point and a half at this point? We'll see where that ends up landing. As you mentioned earlier, it's the COVID situation plus just the overall movement of that line. But, it's as important as it gets for this point in the season for both of these teams.
There are going to be a lot of people who say, like, there's no way Baker Mayfield can go into Gillette and beat the Patriots in New England, which is basically, if you're picking them, you're saying they have to do because the line's so short. But,
yeah. We'll be really interesting if we get Odell Beckham on the Patriots before Sunday, and we just gotta act like we're just not even gonna mention him. So that's the pitfall of doing this early in the week, Mike.
Yep. Hopefully, he ends up in Seattle. We don't have to worry about that. All right, let's go to Nashville. Got the Saints heading to Tennessee to take on the Titans. The Saints coming off of a disappointing loss at home, right? That was in New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. To the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep, that was one of the games that we were split on last week. One of the few games.
Were we?
I believe so. Yeah, because I was on the Saints. You were on the Falcons.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that was the difference maker. Anyway, the Saints lost to the Falcons at home. Now they have to go to Nashville to take on the Titans. Titans, very, very impressive Sunday night win that we mentioned earlier. They are laying 3 at home against New Orleans. Total's at 44.5. This opened at 2.5. Tennessee 2.5 up to 3. Looks like half of the tickets and 60, two-thirds of the money on Tennessee, which would explain that. Feels like a pretty even matchup. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting what Matthew Stafford said after the game the other night that basically I spotted them 14 points because he did. I mean, that was that game was really won in that 20-second span where Tennessee capitalizes on two interceptions and punches it in. Beyond that, I think their offense showed some cracks without Derrick Henry. I think there's gonna come a point where, you know, they get a little one dimensional. I mean, that the running backs that they were running out there really didn't do a whole lot. I think they combined for like 5 runs of 5+ yards on their 22 attempts, which is tied for the fewest from a Titans offense since 2019. Tannehill, only 2 passes more than 15 yards downfield, so very conservative from that standpoint. They only had 194 offensive yards against the Rams. So that is, they're going up against a Saints defense that, despite the hiccup last week, is still really good. Number 1, actually, in rush DVOA. Number 3 in success rate against. They're getting healthier up front. You got Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport causing some problems last week against Atlanta despite the loss. So I just think this is, I mean, I've said before I'll probably be the last one to come around on Tennessee, and they've made me eat crow week after week, so maybe this is just a continuation of that. But again, I look at this, and I think it's a bad matchup for them. I think that this might be the week where the offensive shortcomings rear their ugly head.
I like Tennessee this week. It has more to do with New Orleans than it does Tennessee.
They've got offensive problems.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I'm still not sure who's starting at quarterback, whether it's going to be Simeon or Taysom Hill. Simeon is put the ball on the ground both of his starts, lost a fumble last week. He's only been sacked twice, so they've done a nice job protecting him. But they're certainly not pushing the ball downfield. It feels like they haven't really clicked into whatever they want to do with Alvin Kamara, and I don't know if that's the Michael Thomas effect or if it's the Drew Brees effect. It just feels like that offense has not clicked the way it has in the past. I think Tennessee still has its issues, but we did see on Sunday night they can get after the quarterback. They do a very good job of rushing the passer, especially I think from the interior. What's his face? It's an absolute monster.
It seems like long term they're identity is starting to switch towards like defense first, which is
nuts because the secondary still doesn't feel.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey Simmons, who was just an absolute monster on Sunday night, turning into one of the better defensive play. I was like, maybe this is kind of a passing of the torch type of game with the Aaron Donald situation. But yeah, I think he gets in the backfield. I think they get in the backfield. I think they generate that pressure. You look at New Orleans, they have the second best run defense based on win rate / PFF. The Rams were first going into last week, so you maybe take that away. I think Tennessee finds a way to get a couple short fields again, and I think Tannehill's still pretty good. You know, maybe they one more week into this thing, they figure it out. You look at last week, too. New Orleans really should have gotten blown out in that game by the Falcons. It ended up being much closer than it should have been. They led, 24-6 at one point the Falcons did before. They committed a bunch of penalties, a lot of big punt return. You know, Simeon just didn't look great, even on plays that maybe they should have had.
I think I'm putting stock in their ability to take care of the ball, because I think that's ultimately where Tennessee has been. They're sort of living right now is they're relying on those turnovers a lot, and we've seen that with several teams.
Well, and that flips quickly, like a Dallas,
or to a greater extent Kansas City. Sure, we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, so this is a good game. Like, the more I looked at this, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Yeah, so
I would like. I don't know who is to your point. Like, I don't know who's going to be starting a quarterback. It sounds like it's going to be Simeon.
Yeah.
But either way, I think they got to get Taysom Hill more involved. Like.
Yeah, he looked pretty good last week.
I guess they're easing him back in a little bit, but this seems like a good week to draw up some plays for
him. We'll look back on like Taysom Hill in a few years and be like, what was that all about? Like, it just never.
They're perpetually 32-year-old Taysom Hill. Like, it's just, I don't think he's never been as young as everybody thought he was, but I also feel like he hasn't really aged either, so he's just kind of stuck on 32.
The weird player, too, mind, like, doesn't play a ton, flashes once every 10 plays, and stands out more because he's not playing. It's just a weird, more tantalizing than maybe he actually is. So, all right, so let's move on to this is the Sunday night game. I just want to look this up because I made this point to you yesterday when we were talking about how bad the NFL is. The AFC West is a hoot. So the Chargers are technically first place, or they're tied for first with the Raiders. 5-3, 5-3. Then the Chiefs and the Broncos, 5-4. The team with the best point differential in the entire division is the Denver Broncos. And it's just, it's bizarre. I mean,
they certainly boosted that number this past week.
That helped. But I think it just speaks to the fact that nobody's been especially dominant. Nobody's been especially poopy. But like I said, Sunday Night Football, you got the Chiefs coming off of that win over the Packers. They are going to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. Raiders, you know, trying to get right after a tough loss in the Meadowlands to the Giants. Kansas City, maybe a little bit surprising here. I don't know. This maybe that tells you where I'm leaning. 2.5-point favorites on the road at Vegas. What do you like in this AFC West?
Why don't you go away? Take it away.
Oh, son of a bitch. I like Kansas. Or excuse me. I like Vegas here. I'll take the points at home, divisional game. I looked at like when Kansas City loses, what do? They turn it over a ton. They give up a bunch of points, which I guess is no real secret. Most teams do that when they lose. I'm not sure whether the Raiders can take advantage of that first thing, because the Raiders only forced 10 turnovers. But that offense, when it's clicking, looks very good. You know, Derek Carr is getting surprisingly legitimate MVP buzz. And you look at what they did last year against Kansas City. They scored 40 points, and they scored 31 points, and they split the season series with the Chiefs. There's not a whole lot that I look at the Raiders' offense right now and I say they are worse than they were last year or not capable of putting up that sort of offensive performance against the Chiefs again. The Chiefs still have a bad defense when they're not going up against rookie quarterbacks or second-year quarterbacks making their first career start. I have confidence in Vegas scoring 30 to 40 points again. I don't have that same confidence in Kansas City right now. I think that offense just doesn't look right. I can't figure it out. I'm not smart enough to know what's wrong with them, but I just have more confidence in, you know, like I said, 30 to 35 points from Vegas here against a bad defense.
Yeah.
If it gets there, I don't think Kansas City can match them.
I'm with you. And it's just, we're getting to a point where you look at Kansas City and they're just not a good team. You know what I mean? They're just sort of middle of the road.
I think it's fair now. I think we're at that point.
Yeah.
And I will allow for them to, like, it might just click one of these weeks and they just go bonkers.
Sure.
Again, but
that would be a testament to the coaching staff. Yeah. I mean, I think we can agree they're well coached in the quarterback play. But yeah, they're just, for me, they're a team that the defense is putting them in a bad spot. So, like, they essentially have to throw out the game script, like, immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just tough for them to sort of find that rhythm and click like they used to. Like, sort of the book's out on them a little bit, and it really dates back to that Super Bowl. I mean, like, we've seen it now where teams are just, they're taking away those big plays that they rely on. It's a very short shelf life for teams that can rely on skill players the way that they did. So I think that's sort of manifesting itself now. You know, you get to a point where you lose these pieces on defense, and it's just, they're getting a little bit older offensively. Like, it's just, they're just not in a very good spot right now. I think that this could be to your point about the Raiders offense, I think they're going to be able to run on them. You know, we've talked at
nauseam. Which they haven't done much this year.
But I mean,
is this to like get them going? Maybe.
It's a perfect spot to get them going. I think too.
I
think it's a big Darren Waller game.
Yeah.
No team has allowed more receiving yards to tight ends this year than the Chiefs. So yeah, I just think that if I'm catching points at home, like you said, in a divisional game, prime time, sure.
Yes. I was going to make another point. I just blacked out.
Although,
so that's good.
I will say, like, there is something to be said for the Raiders consistently hitting that point year over year,
like,
where, like,
midway
they just collapse.
The year, yeah.
Like, they started 6-3 last year, finished 8-8. Year before, 6-4, finished 7-9. And it always seems to, like, line up with the bye week, too, which we just saw them coming off the bye and lay an egg against the Giants. So, I don't know. Maybe they're cognizant of that, and that allows for the bounce back. But it's troubling, having seen it in the past. But I just think matchup-wise, I got
to
roll with that.
So the thing about the Chiefs offense, one last point I want to make. I watch a ton of Packers football. Obviously, we've discussed this at length before. That's the best I can remember seeing that defense in a long, long, long time on the road at Kansas City in a spot that you're supposed to get your head kicked in. And maybe you can say, like, if there was ever a time for them to step up, it would have been then, and they did, so credit to them. But, like, I don't think that defense is very good, and they looked like a very good defense against Kansas City. So that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, if you're making the Packers defense look, you know, elite, that's they scored 13 points.
It's wild. Yeah. I mean, no turnovers, though, right?
Right, yeah.
No one's turned it over at all, so I guess they're...
And they honestly... making strides. They, A, were given gift points by, like, the muffed punt, but then they left points on the board by not... by settling for field... So it's just...
It's pretty amazing if you look at their... I think it's their EPA per play after each week throughout the course of the season. Where, like, the first few weeks, they came out and they were the Chiefs, at least offensively.
They scored 33 points in week one against Cleveland.
Yeah, so, like, it was just sort of a continuation, like... All right, maybe they have their defensive flaws, but they have the offense to overcome those. And then slowly, like week after week, I think now they're down to like 11th or something. It's just been a slow decline.
It's weird. You know, like, kind of expect it. We keep saying like maybe this is the week that they break out, but they're actually going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, how long can you wait for them to just click?
I'm getting impatient, which means this is just as I jump off, it's probably the time to jump on, but whatever. Yeah, I haven't learned yet, so. Ricky, who is your lock this week?
My lock. I'm going to take the Bills. Coming off,
I like this one a lot.
That upset loss to Jacksonville. Sort of just banking on a bounce back. 13-point favorites over the Jets. The Jets are another team where there's some quarterback uncertainty there. It sounds like Mike White will be ready to go. If not, is it going to be Josh Johnson, somebody from the XFL, CFL, USFL, really wherever you want to pluck him from. Look, that Bills defense was still, I mean, for as bad of a loss as that was, I mean, the defense was still there. It's still a top-tier defense. I mean, I'd say probably a top three unit, certainly number one in DVOA, number one in pass DVOA. So I don't know if that Jets offense is going to be able to do much, and it just seems like a perfect get-right spot for Josh Allen.
That's another one. Yeah, earmark Josh Allen. Not getting a whole lot better yet. I think I'm with you. I like them this week, but that if they struggle again, it's maybe, what's the regression here?
The Bills are, you look like 2 weeks ago, they just sort of messed around and won by 15 points over Miami.
Well, this is, I guess that's what they do against Miami, because that week two or whatever, week three, they beat them 35-0. It was not a very, this is the least impressive.
This feels like a game similar to that.
Yeah.
I mean, if ever there was a time to screw your head on straight, losing to Jacksonville is going to be it, right?
That's fair. And then getting a nice soft bounce back against the Jets is as good of a situation that you're going to find, probably. So, for my lock, I've got Tampa Bay, 9-point favorites on the road at Washington. I like that I'm, I know it's on the road, but I like that I'm on the right side of the 10 point number. Only Detroit has allowed more EPA per play through the air this year than Washington. And only the Jaguars have a worse defensive pass DVOA. Washington, for, you know, as good as it's been at the line of scrimmage, and the numbers say that they've been good at the line of scrimmage, they just cannot stop anybody through the air. The secondary is a disaster, and I think Tom Brady, with an extra week to prepare, knows exactly where he wants to go against that Washington team. Brady, for whatever it's worth, has covered the last four times in the regular season coming off the bye, where Ron Rivera is not a very good coach off the bye himself, 3-7 against the spread in his career coming off a bye in the regular season. So, do you have an upset?
I do. I'm going to go to your point a couple minutes ago. I'm going to take the Seahawks over the Packers. Seattle, 3.5-point underdogs right now, plus 150 on the money line. I'm just sort of banking on that offense being what it was.
All over that one, huh? Is that open? Well, I guess the Russell Wilson news.
Yeah. I think it was at 6, right?
Yeah.
So the news of him coming back obviously bumped that up, but... and I'm putting stock into that, and I'm putting stock into the fact that, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, what, going to be practicing for the first time on Saturday at the game? So,
yeah, I don't even know. They probably don't even practice that.
He's essentially been kind of off to the side for a couple of weeks. I mean, if anybody can handle it, I guess it's him. But Seattle, to me, that if I'm catching points with them, they always feel like a live dog. So I just kind of like them in the spot. I don't know how great they are in the long run either.
Even with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. The offense is still, they still have the capability to toss up, 30 points.
Some other teams could have Odell Beckham coming with them on.
That would be interesting. But it's just kind of expecting a little bit of regression after that performance from the Green Bay defense against the Chiefs. So this seems like a spot where if you want to throw a few points in my direction, sure, I'll take them.
Packers might be good.
I think the Packers are really good.
And that's, I think, we haven't really touched much on Rodgers. Like, that's the thing. I don't want to get into a political discussion. You do whatever you want with your body. Good for you. Go with God. But like as a quarterback, like he screwed them.
Yeah.
Directly or indirectly. And it's like they win that game. They beat the living hell out of the Chiefs in that game if he's playing. It's like, I guess you got to hope that he just doesn't test positive again. Like the numbers are on his side now moving forward. But it's like, maybe it's, I guess it's good that they got it out of the way against Kansas City as opposed to having it happen in the playoffs.
It's going to be a fascinating 30 for 30 in a few years when they finally document their Super Bowl winning season.
Yeah. Until they lose. So the other thing is, too, I don't think he gets tested again until like the day before the NFC Championship. So that would just be another way to lose the NFC Championship game. Rodgers test positive again. But I don't think that's going to happen. For my upset, I've got Minnesota going out to the Los Angeles take on the Chargers. Minnesota's getting 3 on the road. LA has a whole bunch of injuries in the secondary. That's not good when you've got that offensive attack coming out west. They also can't stop the run. That's also not good when you've got Minnesota's balanced attack. I mean, I think this is a good spot for the Vikings to look impressive. They hang around too. They've covered 3 straight games on the road in 5 of the last 7. So I think
that's Vikings who they are. Points. They hang around.
Yep.
Even when teams they should be blowing out, they don't. We were both
that's true. David,
Baltimore was going to roll last week.
Yeah, you just kind of fade them or not fade them. Just take whoever the. Take the points in every Vikings game is maybe the,
more or less, yeah.
The way to go. All right, let's get into our aforementioned chicanery. we're back at it playing guess the YouTube comment or whatever we're calling this. So we welcome
we
in.
I think we're going to be better this week because we got a 1 week sample size.
That's a good point. We're in a much better spot. So we're welcoming in.
I've actually been studying up on this all week.
Nesson.com head of chief content operator. Just Ben Watanabe.
Just Chief.
Chief.
Chief. Sport.
Chief Watanabe. is here. All right, so what are we doing to refresh the people at home?
All right, so we're going to the official NFL YouTube page, looking at the highlights from individual games and cherry-picking some of the best and the brightest comments. And then I want to see if you guys can guess which game they're coming from. Debuted this last week. I think you guys... past flying colors.
Did pretty well, yeah.
So, all things considered.
Want to set some
new
lights.
Pull up the games, though. This is
that's a good point, yeah. Week 9 schedule.
Yeah, okay. Pull up the slate, because it is amazing how even as the guy who compiled these, I blanked on who was playing.
Welcome to our life.
It is crazy, though. Like, at the beginning of the week, I couldn't tell you who was playing who, and then by the end of the week, I know everything exactly, about every game.
And then by the next week, I have no clue.
It just zips through your brain in one ear, out the other.
All right, this is first up from LA101785. I'm definitely going to watch Undisputed tomorrow morning to see what Skip thinks of all this.
So this one feels like a trick. But maybe it's a trick that it's actually a trick. I'm just going to go to the Cowboys-Broncos game.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning.
1-0, both of you.
Hell yeah.
Started. Skip, obviously very interested in what happened in that dumpster fire of a Cowboys.
What threw me off a little bit was the username, though. The LA.
Yeah.
Ah,
so that got me thinking maybe it was some sort of Rams take I wasn't aware of. I don't know.
A lot of political usernames on YouTube. Speaking
of that.
That makes sense.
This one is a Matrix fan. Red Pill Freedom says, this game is a prime example of why I don't gamble on sports. I thought this was a good one to include in a podcast that's specifically about gambling on sports. I would have lost my house on this one. There are a lot of candidates for this one.
Yeah, this was a tough week in that regard. YouTube commenters, lowest common denominator.
I'm going to say Buffalo.
That's what I was going to say, too. Bills Jags.
Bills Jags, you're both 2-0. Look at that. Yeah. Hot.
The Cardinals 49ers game snuck in as I was scrolling down. I'm like, but.
All right, light them up. The 2 P's. Light them up.
Light them up.
This one's kind of easy, but I just like this. Lions fans know some weeks you get Matthew Stafford with 1 T, and other weeks you get Stat Padford. I just wanted to introduce Stat Padford.
Stat Padford's kind of cool. I like that. That has to be Sunday night, then, I'm guessing. Correct.
The Rams game.
Rams Titans.
Yeah.
Lions play last?
Yeah.
I know. Even that, even the one that seems like a layup, there's an alternative there.
The Lions and
there's a path to picking the Lions.
All right, this one, I'm going to redact the username here. But
that's probably a good idea.
we'll get flagged by a search engine or something. Imagine being the best fullback, capital F fullback, of your generation.
Respect.
But playing right now, when teams just basically don't ever play fullbacks, would suck.
This is a type of scenario I would consider far more often than the normal human being. Envisioning a scenario where I'm the best fullback of my generation.
I'll admit that when I saw this, I was like, no one in this game could make a claim to being the best fullback of their generation. But then I thought about it a little bit more, and I realized...
Now you've got me in a pretzel, because yeah. I was feeling pretty confident, and you said that, and then you backed off of it. I'm going to go Cardinals 49ers.
That was where I was leaning.
Kyle Juszczyk.
But, like... But they got rolled.
I was going to say that the fullback was not the story of that.
But I guess like maybe he did something in that game that they should use him more. And they don't.
Hmm.
I'm sticking with it. I don't know any other fullbacks either.
That's true. I'm looking. That was, yeah, that's
Jakob
really...
Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, that's my pick, I guess, too.
All right, this one's from the Purple Bowl.
Oh.
Vikings, Ravens. Oh. Greatest fullback of his generation is Massachusetts' own Pat Rickard.
I didn't know he was.
I don't know how to evaluate fullback.
Yeah,
to be
exactly.
Totally honest with you, but he's been to the Pro Bowl twice, so somebody must know.
Teams
him.
Clearly don't either if they don't ever play fullbacks.
He's listed, by the way, 6'3", 311. That's insanity. That's a big man.
It was not Juszczyk. Unfortunately, that's who I would have picked as my best fullback of my generation. His generation, whoever's generation, some generation.
I was going to say the Falcons and thought maybe Cordarrelle Patterson was getting a few snaps at fullback or something. And use them every other way, and we might as well.
Speaking of the 49ers-Cardinals game, did you guys happen to hear at one point, I don't know who the color announcer was, but he said that the 49ers keep punching themselves in the foot.
Sick. it's a commitment.
I like it. It's not quite as bad as shooting yourself in the foot, but it's still inconvenient. Yeah,
it is. It's only a short-term injury, though. You're back a couple days later.
All right. I believe this is the last one. I'm expecting some type of documentary about this game in a couple years. Like NFL leak.
Leak as in the vegetable.
As in the vegetable, right.
This is a tough one. I've got two options here. Packers Chiefs actually feels like it could have been like a good documentary about that game in a couple of years, given That's everything true. That happened with it. But I'm going to go with Texans Dolphins.
I'm going to say Saints Falcons.
There were a lot of great Saints out and out sagas.
Coming back and then losing late.
This one was from Bears Steelers.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I guess the Cassius Marsh thing.
Oh.
You can. What an interesting character.
That guy sucks.
You could definitely make a documentary about him.
I'm not watching that documentary, though.
What if I told you that someone who looks like Cassius Marsh is kind of an idiot?
Yeah. That's a good tagline. What the hell? A documentary. That is almost... I didn't actually did not stay up to watch that game. I was shocked when I woke up to see what had happened. But game sucked. I don't know.
That didn't jump off the page for me.
That is not a documentary. But also... Sneaky move throwing in a Monday game into the presentation there. So, all right, I think we did pretty well there. I at least started strong. It got tough toward the end, so that's all you're looking for.
I think you guys did great. I got to try to mix things up next week, maybe come up with a new wrinkle.
Hey, you know, that's what it's all about in the NFL. Yeah,
just expanding into TikTok dances. Well,
oh, hell, man. Jesus. That could be the end.
If we're lucky. Speaking of the end, we have reached the end of our week 10. I don't even actually know if I mentioned week 10 earlier, but it is week 10 now that we're an hour into this. and we are done with our discussion of week 10 on the Spread Nest and Football Podcast. For Ben and for Ricky, I am Mike. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Bye.